This is Gator Shipley with the Loose Lips with Gator Ships podcast, and you're listening to my guys at Ramblin' Raiders.
Yeah. What is up?
You should be able to hear us now. Go ahead and comment in the chat, guys, if the audio is good. We had to get a little experimental to start this thing off, so I want to wait and make sure that that's quality before we get going. Lane, I'll let you keep an eye on the chat there, man. Let me know if we're good to go. While I retweet our link to let everybody pile in to, you know, come watch the Texas Tech versus Kansas recap here.
Right you are.
Oh, there it is. Any feedback here, guys? How's the audio looking?
They hear us.
They hear us good?
Never heard the intro, but mics are hot. We're good.
That was okay. I knew that was going to happen. That's hopefully the echo's not bad because we had to mute the rest of it. You know, it's baby steps in learning how this technology works, and I think we've come a long way. So, welcome back to the podcast, guys. Episode 168. We're back in the win column, baby. After a big win at home, Joey McGuire and co. got it done. The Red Raiders got it done against the Kansas Jayhawks, who are already bowl eligible, if you can believe it or not. What year are we living in right now? I don't know. It's pretty trippy when the Jayhawks are doing that well at this point in the season. But, guys, this is the Ramblin' Raiders. As you can see in those two little icons right there, the Ramblin' Raiders podcast, some premium Texas Tech content with a few laughs, a few questionable takes, sometimes some beer cracks. It's, we're going to keep it loose, keep it light, mix it up for you guys, but always delivering that premium Texas Tech content that we know, you know, all of our followers are desperately fiending for. You know, we're a part of the Guns Up Nation Network. We're all over social media. We're on Facebook at Ramblin' Raiders. It's Ramblin' Raiders Podcast is the Facebook page. Twitter at Ramblin' Raiders. Instagram at Ramblin' Raiders. You know, we're on Apple Pod, Spotify, or any of the other podcast platforms that you choose to listen to your podcasts on. Make sure you drop us a rating and a review there. If you're listening to this, these recaps, and if you're watching and following, as you know, anyone that's watching right now,
these six
watchers that are going to continue to grow, I know. And by the way, you know, don't worry. At the end of this, there's usually about 100 views or so. So for anyone that watches this, make sure that you're subscribed. We're up to 313 subscribers, trying to grow that number. Build our YouTube channel, which is Ramblin' Raiders Media. So drop us a sub there. We always appreciate it. If the audio is good, if you guys are enjoying this content, hit us with a thumbs up and leave a comment. But most importantly, hit that subscribe button. That's all the plugs, man. I do want to give a quick shout out to our boy, Patty Ice. After months of working through some obstacles, getting over hurdles, our website, the Ramblin' Raiders website, is relaunched, Lane. We had a good website for a long time, decided to give it a facelift. Pat got in there, got his cosmetic kit out.
We went for a rebranding.
We rebranded, and Pat got his cosmetic kit out, and he dressed it up, dolled it up, and it looks really good. I've had a lot of people reach out, whether it's, you know, DMing us on Instagram or Twitter, or just texting me saying, hey, your website looks awesome. So that's a shout out to our boy, Patty Ice. Pat, yeah. Trying to think.
I myself haven't checked it out yet. It's something I'm going to have to do. I haven't been on our new, the relaunch of the website yet.
So. You need to. It looks good. But our boy, Pat, man, got it done for us. Really appreciative of that. Sorry, Patrick. I was trying to think of like all the nicknames we could give you, but I think Patty Ice is kind of the main one. So really proud of what he's able to do. We're going to have a lot of new things that we're going to roll out later this week, including some new merch. We're going to do some highlights of Ramblin' Raiders, you know, our Ramblin' Raiders athletes. We're going to be putting some write-ups out. So just a lot more content coming y'all's way for all of our, you know, diehard Texas Tech fans and Ramblin' Raiders lovers and followers. So thank y'all for staying tuned. Be on the lookout for that. Let's get into it, man. Really excited. You know, Lane and I are actually, and I'm going to tweet this out a little bit later, but if you're watching, you're going to get this information before everybody else. We're going to have to go back and watch the Texas Tech basketball game tonight because our uncle, who is a season ticket holder for U of H basketball, invited us to go watch the Cougs take on Oral Roberts. I've never been to the Fertitta Center. Is that it? Fertitta Center.
I mean, we used to play there when it was Hoffines. I used to practice there all the time, but I haven't been to to the stadium since it's been redone, so it's going to be cool to see.
I'll say Lane got introduced, and then I came in, and we had the plug at the Hoffman Center. We used to get to work out there all the time. I'll never forget running up and down those bleachers, just out of shape as hell. But, you know, now that it's the Vertita Center, I've never been. I'm excited to kind of go check it out, see how it is, considering U of H is coming to the Big 12, so we'll be able to watch Texas Tech there in the years to come. But we're going to have to go back, check out the Texas Tech game tonight, which should be fun. Maybe on the drive over there, we can do a quick Twitter space talking up the game against Louisiana Tech here at 7 o'clock. But, yeah, excited to see the number three team in the nation, U of H. They've been a wagon the last couple years. We'll see what they got after tonight. With that said, we're going to roll right into this because that game's at 7. It's icy. It's chilly. I love this weather. It means that two of my favorite sports, football and basketball, are being played at the same time. So we're going to have to head that way early due to the weather, you know, the weather and the conditions outside. But with that being said, man, Lane, football, first and foremost. I know we got a basketball game for the Red Raiders tonight. Let's talk about that big dub, getting back in the win column.
Huge win.
Yeah, needed it, really needed it to –
Keep your bowl hopes alive. I mean, they're alive and well after winning that one. So
I feel like salvage your season isn't too hyperbolic to say. I mean, you needed this win to salvage a bowl game, you know, 6-7 wins. Not saying that's not an indictment on McGuire or anything, but this was kind of against the wall.
This team's good enough to make a bowl, yes, and they shouldn't expect anything less. I mean, agreed. Everyone's saying, if we don't make a bowl game, you know, we're still first-year head coach. Well, that's true. But this team is talented enough. Joey McGuire's a good enough coach. He's already proven. Zach Kittley's a good enough coordinator. Yeah. DeRuiter's a good enough coordinator that this team should make a bowl game.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything less would be somewhat of a disappointment to this team.
Not only to us fans, but to our coaching staff
exactly.
and to
they
our players.
They expect to make a bowl
That's
game.
That's what always gets me is like, the fans can't be disappointed. But, I mean, you know damn well the coaches and the players would be disappointed if they didn't make a bowl game. So we're all in this together. We're all along this ride together to the finish against Oklahoma in 2 weeks.
Iowa State.
Iowa State, then Oklahoma, and then bye week before. Hopefully, you know, we get to watch some championship matchups, and then we're going to be, you know, getting to participate in – sorry, I can't talk right now. Participate in bowl season. So we'll see how it goes. This was definitely you needed it to put yourself in a position to make a bowl game. Iowa State, you know, we'll have the Rip coming out on Wednesday. It's going to be a tough matchup. Vegas has Tech as a 3-point dog. You know, I know Lane.
Line has moved to 3.5 already in favor of Iowa State.
Ames has been a tough place for Tech to win, you know, and we'll get into all that on the Rip, but it's going to be challenging. OU down bad, man, from where they've been in the past. You know, I think Tech will probably end up being a favorite going into that game. So you have a good chance of making a bowl game. Let's talk about what went into, you know, us beating a good – and I know that I have to apologize last week. You know, Astros, for all of our Rangers fans out there, I just want to remind you guys, Astros are world champions.
Two-time
world champs. And Lane and I celebrated that on Monday when we usually do our recap. So we didn't get to recap the TCU game. Didn't really want to talk about it anyways. But we went to Bregman's watch party or Bregman's celebration at Lil Woodrow's. Did that. And then I went out of town for I had a work-related event come up. So we didn't get to do the Rip last week. We didn't get to do the recap of TCU. But Lane, had we done the Rip, I mean, we would have went in on the fact that this isn't your average Kansas. This is a good Kansas team. I know we had them at home, but make no mistake, this was a big win for, a team that could finish with 7-8 wins, dude. I mean, they got UT.
They got a tough schedule to finish out, I think.
K-State's going to be pretty rough. I don't know if that's home or away, but I do know that they have UT at home, and we all know Kansas's track record against UT these last couple years. So this could be a 7-win team to finish the season.
Absolutely. They're really good. I mean, they got two good quarterbacks. They're deep in that position. Bean showed that he's, you know, he might not be as good as Jalen Daniels, but he can go, man. He can certainly play. Their offense is so explosive. We saw that.
Yep.
But our defense made plays when they needed to really kind of push us over the top of this game.
Yeah.
And then the offense executed, didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah. No, I mean,
simple as that.
We had this. Well, okay. Let me get into this, because I was going to say we kind of went through waves in this game of highs and lows, mostly highs. Second quarter got a little bit away from us. Real quick, instant reaction here. You know, in the past with Kingsbury and with Wells, even though it was only for 2 years, the trend for Texas Tech, Cumbie changed that last year. But with head coaches, Kingsbury and Wells, Tech has been kind of notorious for maybe coming out of the gate hot or getting a big win or a couple wins early and then
disappearing,
petering out. Yeah, just completely, you know, getting your doors blown late in the season, not being able to build momentum and get hot and peak at the right time. Interestingly enough, I'm sitting here wondering after this win at 5-5 with two winnable games left on your schedule. Don't get me wrong, they're not gimmies by any means. They're not going to be easy, but they are very winnable for Tech. Could we, in Coach McGuire's first year, man, do you think we could see that shift and change in the culture of Texas Tech being able to finish strong, close the season out with a big win?
Yeah, it's certainly what Joey McGuire would like to establish, a finishing kind of culture down the stretch of the season, a team that, you know, plays well all the way through the season.
Yeah.
And he's got an opportunity to do something that's never been done at Texas Tech before.
By the way,
that is beat Texas and Oklahoma in the same year. How cool would that be to do on his first season at Tech? Be incredible and make a bowl game. And this team's capable, like we said. So
I mean, go ahead and build a statue, man.
Yeah,
you beat OU and UT for the first in your first year for the first time ever. That would make for just a great home slate if that were to play out. Only dropping one game, it's going to be a night game against OU. Look, I know a lot of fans left early from the last one, and I was looking on Twitter. And I'm not going to. It's disappointing, but I'm also not going to judge you because I'm sitting at home in a warm environment watching the game. So, I mean, I don't know who am I to tell you what to do with staying or going. But a lot of people were saying they weren't dressed appropriately or they saw people that weren't ready.
Maybe check the weather.
It's going to be cold, man. So bring a thermos. Boy, actually, I guess you can't walk in with
a thermos. Bring a thermos.
Well, I mean, like,
bring hand warmers.
You can gooch it, potentially.
Bring hand warmers.
I mean, it's going to have to be a very petite-sized thermos, but, I mean, people get creative to sneak stuff into the game.
Fill it with tortillas.
Gooch what you have to, man. I mean, wrap your tortillas around it or something. Get you something warm, hand warmers, blankets. I don't know, but it's going to be cold against OU, so come prepared with extra gear and blankets to, you know, be able to wait out that cold, stay till the end. I know, you know, again, I'm not going to tell anyone what to do, but it does look kind of bad when you're at the end of a game in a tight game. I know we're 4-5, but still, what the
fighting to be bowl eligible.
The atmosphere that we have at baseball games, basketball games, and the pedigree that Texas Tech fans, the standard that they hold themselves to and that they have in their own minds, we got to let that live out in football as well. So check the weather, as Lane said, come ready. Hey, buy you an old school Ramblin' Raiders hoodie while you still can before we start launching our new merch, and then you can get you a new hoodie, which honestly both are great. I can't wait for y'all to see the new merch that we have coming out. Where was I, man, before I went off on that tangent? Oh yeah, so McGuire, you know, can we finish strong? That's going to be solid. And I'll tell you this, man, I went back and rewatched the game. That's the one positive about ESPN Plus. Easy to go back and access, you know, if you want to break down film.
Go check tape.
McGuire, dude, his demeanor in this game. Man, I don't know if you noticed this on your rewatch. He was dialed in, dude. I'll just say that. I mean, we saw an animated Coach McGuire, at times upset.
Angry.
Coach McGuire, angry, which is I'm actually excited to see that. I mean, he was – I don't know if it was players or staff, but he was cussing some guys. He was upset. He was into it. And I think that's something we might not have necessarily seen in
not with Kingsbury.
Not with Kingsbury. Wells, maybe here
Wells
or there.
Wells get fiery, I think.
A little bit. But I'll say this, like the honeymoon phase with McGuire, I mean, he's past that. He knows, like, hey, we played in the last 2 weeks against teams that, like, we've been in the game with and had shots at, and we didn't capitalize. We didn't finish, and we didn't execute the way we wanted to.
It's winning time now.
I'll tell you what, dude. His look in his eye was, I'm all business tonight, and there was no kind of dancing around that fact.
And you know who else was all business? Tyler Shuck.
That's for sure. We're going to get into that in just a second. But, yeah, I thought it was good to see McGuire kind of have that, you know, air about him, that he, you know, he knows that there's been some, you know, disappointing losses this year in his mind. Not that it's – you know, like I said, you know, we've lost to good teams thus far. That's a fact. But, there's some games that we could have won. I know on the road, you know, we haven't played our best. So it was good to just see McGuire in a state of, you know, again, like that honeymoon phase is over. I'm all business. I want to finish this year out strong. A testament to him and the culture he's building at Texas Tech. Lane and I both, having our dad, you know, coaching us as we grew up, you know, always laying into us. I mean, I'm a believer in that Bobby Knight, old school, well, just fired up. I mean, as a player, I always respected a coach that, you know, lit me up and kind of laid into me because I knew they demanded more from me and they knew I could be better than what I was putting.
And they want to win just as much as you do. They're they're part of it. They're in it. They're not, you know, they're not leaving you. They're buying into you, so you buy back into the program.
And I would dare say teams that you see having success are full of players that embrace the challenge. That embrace. You look at Alabama. They got dudes on there that when Nick Saban's cussing them up and down, they're getting back out there and they're correcting that mistake, right? Not this year because Alabama's kind of, I won't say mid, but for Bama standards, they're mid from where they've
been. For Bama standards, they suck. Yeah. When was the last time they had two losses in November?
Yeah, if you ask their fans, probably. But still, man, it's – anyways, all that to be said, love seeing that energy, that passion, that fire from Coach McGuire. Really, besides the second quarter, I thought Texas Tech looked good in all three phases of the game. Special teams came through, defense made adjustments, and the offense, and that's what we're going to really, in our biggest takeaway, is going to get into, had their best game in the last 3 weeks. Last kind of instant reaction, and then we'll talk about the takeaways. ESPN Plus, dude. We got to talk about these announcers, man. I mean, it takes minimal research. Me and Lane get on these mics just going through for about an hour looking up stats, looking up guys' names, looking up trends, you know, time of possession, little tidbits of facts to give a somewhat thorough analysis, decent analysis. I know I say at the beginning of every podcast, questionable takes and analysis sometimes, but still, it's not hard to do the bare minimum, man. And I hate to
At one point, they had a camera on a coach talking about Joey McGuire, and it wasn't Joey McGuire.
I'll just say, like, yes, that.
I mean, that's just pitiful.
Their sound crew was picking up, which I thought was hilarious. People just dropping F-bombs, screw these refs during the game, getting the best of the Texas
Tech
fans.
And then a couple, the one that really pissed me off was Eldridge's pick. The guy is just going in saying that there's no way that should have been called an interception,
all this stuff. You and Dad.
I was like, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly a pick.
Well, that's what I said. I mean, it's definitely
It was close. Yeah. It was definitely close. I mean, he could have bobbled it there for a second, but there was no evidence that it just bounced off the turf like he claimed. Like, no, what an idiot.
His arm was it was inconclusive at best. Or at
inconclusive
the best,
at best. I think it was a pick.
Yeah, I agree. No, the whole thing was terrible. The sideline reporter was, like, so baffled that we throw tortillas. That's been happening forever. So, not forever, but for a long time. So, ESPN Plus, my last thing. Like,
get some better announcers.
Let's up the quality of our production, man, if you're going to make us watch these games on ESPN Plus. Dude, check in. How's the chat looking right now? I see from
everyone's
afar,
going off in the chat. They love it.
How is pumped? Okay, cool. Y'all ask any questions. I'll let we'll circle back to that. I'll pull it up here in a second. But let's talk about biggest takeaways now that we're done, you know, doing our due diligence of talking trash about ESPN Plus. Offense looked exponentially better than they have in the last 2 weeks. Show was in total control. Yes, he missed some throws here and there. But we saw, and I'm going to get into Show's performance even later here whenever we talk about individual play. Offense looked better. Texas Tech ran the ball more than they have. I'll go pull Dirty Don Williams quote that he had or tweet that he had with our running stats. But we ran the ball more. Our line blocked better. Texas Tech's offense looked better.
Yeah, we ran the ball, and Tyler Shuck, I think, showed why he was – kind of named the starter in this game. He's really calm. He doesn't make many mistakes. And I think the real reason why he was selected probably over Morton is because of his pocket presence and his ability to maneuver around the pocket and know when to pull it and go, know when to step up in the pocket, know when to, you know, get it out quick.
Yeah.
His pocket presence is off the charts better than the other two quarterbacks, and that comes with the experience he's had, his age.
100%.
Him being a senior, so I think Tyler Shuck really showed up and showed out for this game.
That he did. Okay, so Don Williams put out Tech's 264 rushing yards tonight was a season high. Tyler Shuck ran for 76, Sir Roderick Thompson 68. Cameron Valdez, Lane pointed this out pre-pod, great to have him back in the rotation. Young man's going to have a bright future, bright career at Texas Tech. He ran for 66, Taj Brooks 51, and Donovan Smith had that 6 yards.
All of our backs are over 50 yards, and then you throw in Tyler Shuck 70-plus. So, I mean, that's a huge night on the ground, and it just came from so many different people. This Kansas defense had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, it was good to see. I will I'll just throw this in there. I noticed, and I was kind of, it was unfortunate, Lane, that we weren't able to get on, you know, do a rip episode or the TCU recap, because I noticed it seemed like there was a lot of traction behind the idea of like Texas Tech needing to run the ball more this last week. And I'm thankful that everyone's kind of noticing this, seeing this, you know, seeing
I mean, most of the fans have been saying it for months.
Well, so I went back and looked, dude, and I think it was like three live shows in a row, you know, TCU, Baylor, and maybe even around the Oklahoma State or West Virginia mark. I don't know. We interspersed there. You know, we brought up the point, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and claim like you and I are, you know, geniuses, and experts.
Saying,
but
I'll say most of the fan base.
Yeah, I mean, we have two of the better backs, and really, Sir Roger Thompson. I'm going to get into his stats here in a second. Everyone enjoy watching him in a Red Raider uniform for either of these last two or three games, because dude's absolutely phenomenal. When you have the running backs that we do, and our O line seems to be able to block better in the run scheme. Something that we've all kind of alluded to, talked about, you know, we mentioned that maybe Kittley, he's used to that Billy Zappi high, you know, high pace, throw the ball around the field a lot kind of offense, and that it was going to be an adjustment point for him to be able to run the ball more. A lot of traction. We ran the ball more. That's great. Let's not get it twisted either, guys. I think it's safe to say Zach Kittley, I mean, you go look at Kansas's, you know, run defense and how they perform throughout this season. It's one of the worst in the Big 12.
He knows how to attack certain defenses, and he draws up his scheme weekly to attack that defense.
I just think it's funny. I feel like, and we're, you know, just as guilty as anybody, but it's like in this, you know, the Texas Tech Twitter world, I feel like sometimes maybe we, and maybe we should, you know, pat ourselves on the back for bringing things up. Guys, Zach Kittley's not looking at Twitter when it comes to his,
hell no, he doesn't care less.
His game plan. He's, you know, he's looking at what we're looking at, and that's that Kansas has a terrible run defense. Therefore, we're going to run the ball more. I wish we would have done it a little bit more throughout the season, but it was refreshing to see in this game.
I'll say this, though. I mean, we ran the ball great, but it was a balanced attack. I mean, 264 on the ground, 246 in the air. It's a very balanced attack. We threw the ball extremely well. Shuck on the RPOs was great. I mean, he pulled. He knew when to throw it, and he knew when to hand it off.
I think with Tyler Shuck, you're going to see – I mean, I think if he would have, you know – not gotten hurt, and as we see him throughout the rest of this year, he's the kind of quarterback that with you know, an overall input or an overall output like that, you want it to be balanced, because he's the kind of guy that when you do see stats like that of balanced running with balanced passing, that's when Tyler Shuck's probably in his element, you know, maybe opposed to the Baron Morton style, which is let's sling it, you know, throw it at more of a higher attempts, higher frequency, where Donovan Smith, you're probably going to want to run it a little bit more. Shuck seems like that kind of perfect blend. You want the stat sheet at the end to have a balance like that with Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, absolutely. He did a great job of reading the defense and not trying to take too much. He let the defense, they're given is what, you know, he took.
I just thought it was funny that, like, you know, now, like, all of a sudden, I mean, yeah, dude, we run the ball, good things happen. And we all know Zach Kittley just looks at Twitter to do his game plan. You know, he's relying on whatever our output is to make sure that happens. So, rest assured, Texas Tech Twitter, you know, keep it up, keep at it, because we're directly influencing the play, on the field. Adjustments, dude. Defense in the second half. Props to DeRuiter, man. I mean, I watched the game with my parents this weekend, and my grandpa went out there, took a break from Memorial Trail Ice House and traveling around. Just wanted to lay low this weekend. We were sitting there going, we're going to have to make adjustments, dude, in the second half with our defense, because we just were taking bad angles, weren't tackling, weren't wrapping up, whatever. And that's more just in play. I mean, I don't know how much a coach can really critique besides lighting a guy up saying, you know, wrap up or let's take better angles. But whatever DeRuiter did work, dude, because Tech held Kansas to 7 points in the second half. So big adjustments, made the big plays when we needed them. And then the last big takeaway, I'll just, because this ties in, you know, a quality W, but I will say Kansas definitely did not help themselves in this game. The two missed field goals were
double doink.
Big, really kind of big momentum plays for Kansas. They needed to get some points on the board. That was bad. And then also, I don't know what the final penalty count for KU was, but midway through that fourth quarter, they were sitting around 10 or 11. Dude, they killed themselves with penalties this weekend.
Oh, killed themselves with penalties, and then had two big turnovers. Yeah. Chance to tie the game, you throw a pick, and then the fumble, you know, you have a chance to drive down, and, you know, you'd have to go for two to tie it up, but you're still in the game, and the big fumble ends the game, essentially. So when you go 2-0 turnovers, you're probably going to lose.
Thoughts on the defense, too, man. I mean – stepped up. DeRuiter just did.
They played great the second half, and I didn't think they played horrible in the first half. They kept giving up a lot of plays, but they held when they needed to. They made big plays
really
when they needed to.
The second quarter was tough. The first quarter they did. You're right. I mean, first quarter 7 points. And KU's got a potent offense. They're one of the top 15.
They're extremely explosive, and they had some big plays that kind of cost us. But when we needed a big stop and forced a field goal, we got it.
That's
and
true.
Guess what? They missed field goals. So.
Yeah, it was. I guess there was just a stretch there, kind of middle, big chunk of the second quarter in the middle there. We had some where we just took some really bad angles and couldn't wrap up. Lane will laugh. I got into a very civil. Civil discussion.
A classic Twitter argument?
No, it was a civil Twitter discussion with one of our regular followers who I love interacting with. It's always amicable and good discourse to have. But I put something out there about how we forgot how to tackle. And the argument was that Neal, who is a good running back. I mean, damn, he's probably, besides Kansas, had that other guy who was an absolute dog these last couple years. I forgot that guy from Louisiana. Not going to remember his name. Easily was the best player on their team. But anyways, Neal is, when you look at his stats, he's up there in the upper echelons, probably top
he's
six.
He's a good running back.
Top six backs, five backs in the Big 12. But it was, the argument was that, he was just, that it was kind of not our defense's fault. And that
it was just him.
It was, it's funny how when he's running the ball, it seems like a lot of defenses suddenly forget how to tackle and all that. And my point to that is that there was plays in the second half where we did not look good on defense. Straight up took bad angles. And I'm not trying to discredit Neal at all, but you go back and pull bodies of work. Baylor's running back is just as good. Bijan Robinson, despite what happened to him against TCU. Deuce Vaughn's the best running back in the Big 12.
Yeah. I think it's Bijan Robinson. I didn't get a chance to watch the TCU game, so.
He's a dog. Don't get me wrong.
But, Deuce Vaughn, there's several backs that are better than.
I'll just put it. Oh, and then, hell, TCU's running back, Miller, is.
That guy's
running 1,300 yards this season, whatever. Point taken is that I was saying, look, we've tackled better. There's better guys that we've played than Neal that we've been able to wrap up and somewhat successfully stop. I forgot what his yardage was. Dude, he had he almost had two. I think he almost had a 200-yard marker in this one. You're letting up a lot, dude.
He was close. He had 190 yards on the ground.
All that to be said.
No tutties,
the defense, I was proud of the way they stepped up, but I stand by my statement. Again, I love interacting with our Twitter followers. It wasn't it's just fun.
Carl's got your back, man. Puka.
Puka, that guy was also a beast. It's fun to, have that dialogue and talk about that kind of stuff. But I stand by what I said. We made adjustments in the second half. Our defense did not look as crisp as they usually do in the second quarter on some of those big plays. Secondary gave up some big ones as well. So it was good to see the adjustments late.
Yeah, it was. And, they stepped up big in the second half. You give up 7 points.
Yeah.
And then you get a huge takeaway. That essentially won us the game right there. Yeah. We weren't awesome. Scoring as quickly as we were in the first half. We were getting field goals aside from that late touchdown and the Shuck touchdown. So really needed the defense to step up in the second half, and they did.
Fire up the purge sirens, man, because and I kind of wish we didn't do the DJ remix. I wish they actually just did the full-blown purge.
Yeah.
Those loud things instead of doing the DJ remix, because that would be so intimidating, especially for a night game. And honestly, Lubbock, it kind of reminds me of the Purge sometimes. It's just lawless.
Oh, for sure. Especially off a big win in a night game.
Especially on 4th of July when people are just shooting fireworks in the streets and, nobody cares, man.
Yeah, I almost blew up your apartment that one time, I'm pretty sure, on accident.
You did. And I'll never forget, I equate Lubbock over certain holidays like the Purge. So I'm glad that our football program finally tapped into that potential, the Purge potential. And we saw it, man, with the, what does McGuire call it, the take three. Try to get some takeaways. We got two big ones. Big performances before we wrap this up with I'll throw a little bit of a kind of a fun question to speculatory, is that a word? Speculatory question.
Speculation.
At the end of it. Yeah, we're gonna do some speculating something. Lane and I, this is the part where we like to make up words. We're gonna speculate on a question here at the end. But before we do that, big performances, guys. Our O-line, I want to start with them because we've dogged them at times this year. And, they've been our weakest point of our offense when you look at some of our losses throughout the season. I know quarterback play was inconsistent sometimes with Smith and all that. But being able to protect has been an issue for the for this team. In this game, I'm going to put that away because I want to give credit where it's due. Our O-line looked good, man. I believe Shuck was only sacked once. I think he was only sacked once in this game. Granted, it helped that he got through his reads a little quicker and navigated the pocket better, but only allowing one sack. You know, we ran for 260-something yards. That's a good – I mean, that's a reflection on your offensive line. And I think they stepped up. We had a couple penalties that were not great at times, but overall, they handled their business. Good to see them bounce back after 2 weeks where, you know, there was a lot of QB pressure. Proud of our offensive line.
Yeah, they did. They did well. I mean, anytime you run over 200 yards and you have a balanced attack like that, it speaks volumes to your O line. I do think, you know, a lot of it, like you said, though, Shuck navigating that pocket is huge, and that's where he's light years kind of ahead of Morton, who I think will get there.
What a nice guy, making his O line look even better.
Yeah, I mean, think Morton will get there because he can. He's definitely got, you know, the athletic ability to run the ball. He just doesn't quite have that pocket presence as well as Shuck does yet. So we'll see that soon.
Real quick, throwing it back, Mia said 2 years ago my neighbor caught my yard on fire, lighting up fireworks. Definitely, I could see that happening. They lost the Baylor game in large part to the lack of run game in the red zone. Yeah, for sure. And that's that, you know, Killy's Renee's point, and that's a good one. Thank you for joining, Renee. I mean, there's been times this year where we just needed to hand the ball off more and we didn't. But it was good to see it not be an issue for us against Kansas. So, O-line did well. Want to give the big men up front credit. And Shuck, thank you for being a classy gent and, you know, allowing to make the lads up front look good in their performance in this game. Hutchings, man. I mean, he came away with the biggest recovery, biggest scoop of the game. I was hoping the big man was going to high step into the end zone, but Kansas's big man tracked his ass down, dude.
Yeah, that would have been awesome to see him get a score.
That
but
was big on big chase down, dude. You love seeing that in football, big on big.
But what a scoop
down
it was. I mean, a very athletic scoop. I mean, it was just like, boom, I'm ready to go.
He was
on the move.
It was kind of like the drill. I mean, he moved, and it was on the hop, just like a fluid motion, dude, and he took off. Love to see that. He also had some, you know, he had a big tackle, some disruption, was kind of putting some pressure on Bean when they needed to. Hutchings,
man, someone who's come on late, not really late this year, but the past couple weeks is Pierre, man. That guy's been in the backfield quite a bit.
He's the one that
forced that fumble.
Yep.
And he's been making big plays for the last couple of games we've been in. So.
Oh, wee-wee.
He's really coming on.
Wee-wee, Pierre. That guy, dude, he had two sacks. Yeah, the big one, forced the fumble.
And he lit Bean up, too.
He ear-holed him, which... Like, I didn't know it was allowed to do. I didn't know you were allowed
to do
that.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Apparently, Tyree Wilson, which I was corrected on Twitter, that, like, technically it was a roughing the passer because, I don't know, dude. That rule, I think you got to add nuance, like, levels to that because he dove and, like, he barely wrapped the guy up. It wasn't like a – I think when they say hit him low, it's a – you know, like, you're coming in hot at the knees. He kind of went to the side and, like, hit him up high and then just lightly wrapped him up. I don't know if I would have roughed the passer, but by definition of the rule, whatever. Anyways, to Lane's point, Pierre, dude, huge game, 7 tackles, was up there with some of our leaders. I want to touch on Eldridge real quick, had the big interception to close out the first half, change the momentum and help us get our offense back out there.
We got 3 points out.
Well, yeah, help our offense get back out there and have a deep strike to get us in field goal range. Yeah, can't go without saying Wolf, man. I mean, hit that 50-something yarder.
51.
51. It was ice in this game. Wolf has he was a Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week, so shout out to our special teams unit. McNamara had a pretty good game overall as well. Eldridge had 5 tackles. Want to talk about him. Secondary made some big plays.
Big pass breakups,
man. B-Rabbit had some big plays.
And they were in great position to deflect those balls. I mean – were all blanketed those receivers.
They'd be deflecting some balls.
Yeah, they had some big pass breakups
good.
That really led us to the win in the second half.
Good. So secondary, you know, bounced back, did well. Shout out to Reuter. Thanks for getting those guys fired up. Where else? The Yak Bros. I thought Price and White had good games. I'm dubbing them the Yak Bros because when they catch it in space, they can get shifty on you.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Fonji had a big game, man. He had the one drop that was, I might say, besides.
I think he was probably shocked the ball was as well placed as it was.
I mean, and Shuck, with pressure, stepped up. I mean, that's I would say that pass and then the dime Morton dropped against Oklahoma State are probably the two best throws of the year. But Fonji had a great game overall. Really proud of his effort and what he was able to do. Yak Bros had 113 yards between the two of them on 9 total receptions. Getting up through this all. Thompson real quick. Actually, I'm going to end on Thompson because he's so such a dog. Bad. Shuck, man. You know, I see we're sitting here at 36 minutes. Shuck, man, he, like Lane said earlier, I want to touch on, I mean, he's my X factor in this game. I think you look, you break it down, he's the Ramblin' Raiders, player of the game, X factor of the game. We saw against Kansas why he was the day one QB1. He just, you know, he's got a better, he gets through his reads a little quicker. He's got kind of a better, or not kind of, he has a better pocket presence than either Morton or Smith, which can get there. Like Lane said, it comes with experience, with that veteran presence. His deep ball looked good. He threw some strikes downfield. He missed a couple guys, but rarely. And then the other big one, ran the ball really, really effectively. He was in control of this offense. He was on time with his throws. I put out a whole thread of the darts he was dropping. I'm going to do another one for his run plays in this game. He's your impact player of the game. And with him playing like that, Tech could finish 7-5.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think the biggest thing was, you know, he ran the ball well, but it wasn't always designed. It's not always a designed run.
No.
When the pocket collapsed, but he was already through his read to get out quickly. That's something Morton, I think, he holds onto the ball a little longer because he's still trying to progress through his reads. And then finally, when he realizes it's not there, it's a little bit too late. Shuck's able to get there at a quicker time, and I think it's just experience.
Yeah.
I think Morton's going to have that down the road.
Yeah.
So
the other thing I love about Shuck is that his eyes are always downfield. So as he feels that pocket collapsing, he's looking, and there were a couple throws in that game where he stepped up and delivered a strike, which is something, you know, I think Morton, which, look, with the way our O-line played against some of those defenses, I don't blame him for getting happy feet and just trying to get out some of the time. Smith the same way. Those two young guys will get better at that over time. But Shuck was in control. I think this is his offense to control the rest of the way. Baron Morton has huge upside. I think he's got the most upside we've seen at a quarterback since Graham Harrell. But with that said, this is Shuck's, I think, the rest of the way. I mean, he's just in command. Another big part of this, mistake-free football.
Oh, yeah.
Did not throw a turnover. I know he had a couple that were dicey.
They were close. But,
like, mistake-free football, he was just in command, man. And he looked really good in this game.
Yeah, I agree.
Last but not least, and again, you know, I'm just – this is going to be one of those get on your soapbox and be appreciative. Dude, Sir Roderick Thompson is just a badass, man. Like, I'm going to miss seeing him. Dad and I were talking about that. I'm going to miss seeing that guy in a Texas Tech jersey. I know he's got technically another COVID year, another year eligibility. He's at that age. I don't know if he's going to come back and use it. If he did, I mean, that would be phenomenal. But I want to, you know, just kind of read this off to you because they highlight during the game, guys, that he's got on his one touchdown that he scored, 37 career touchdowns, which is tied for fourth in school history. You think about some of the great backs Texas Tech has had. Truly impressive with what he's been able to do.
If he does decide to come back for another year, he's gonna be the top touchdown scorer for running backs in Texas Tech history.
Yes, more likely than not, man. I mean, also 2,497 yards, 10th in school history. And you got to remember, he's splitting it. I mean, he's splitting reps with two other good backs in Valdez and Brooks. So I would love to go look at a comparison of his attempts, the frequency in which he's getting the ball. What does that look like compared to, say, a Teron Henderson or guys that got more looks than Sir Roderick Thompson? Hell, in this game, he got significantly less carries.
Seven carries.
Seven carries compared to Brooks had 16, I think. Valdez had 11. And guess who our leading rusher was at running backs? Sir Roderick Thompson.
He just runs incredibly hard. Dude always puts his head down.
I'll just say this.
Fights for every yard till the clock stops.
An effective strategy. Again, I'm no offensive guru or genius when it comes to, you know, play calling, when it comes to collegiate, you know, being an armchair coach. I'm no specialist, but it seems to me that handing the ball off to Sir Roderick Thompson equates into usually positive offensive production. It's usually not a bad idea to hand the ball off to Sir Roderick Thompson.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got three. Now we've got Valdez back. Three really good backs, which is very rare to have. Yeah.
Now, I do want everyone to take a deep breath and realize Kansas does have a bad run defense. They have debatably one of the worst front sevens on defense in the Big 12. Well, let's not take away from just this positive vibe that we're all on right
and
now.
And it carries us into a team that has a stellar defense. They own the spread, as Renee was saying earlier. That was a great comment. We're going to have to run the ball like we did against Kansas if we want to win. We're going to have to control the ground game. So
and I hope
it's going to be huge.
In a cold game like that and knowing what their secondary, knowing how good this Iowa State defense is, I hope we're able to do the ground and pound and utilize the run a little more and then hopefully sneak one over the top to Miles Price.
Or Fonji or Cleveland.
Or Fonji or Cleveland. Or that Aiken guy.
Coy Aiken.
That he had like one catch. He also had like a confusing penalty that I didn't, I guess, because it was behind the line of scrimmage.
You have to throw the ball.
Dude, there was one possession where Kittley goes, we're going to throw three deep balls to Aiken right now. And like,
yeah,
see what's
and
up.
Just randomly. And he almost snagged that one back shoulder. That was a little bit high. But yeah.
But also, like, I mean, bold move. Just three deep balls to Aiken in a row. That guy's, I mean, like Lane said on that one play, showcase that he's capable. So Roderick Thompson, though, take a bow, man. I mean, we're going to miss that guy. Dude, he also 68 yards on 7 carries. Also was averaging close to 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just incredible. Okay, last but not least, and we're going to wrap it up. 42 minutes here. Thank you all for tuning in. For everyone who goes back and watches this later, remember RamblinRaiders.com is up and running. Go check out our new site. Also, if you wouldn't mind clicking on that bell down there, subscribing. We're at 313. Tell your friends, tell your family, all Red Raiders in your sphere of influence. Let them know. Hell, tell your enemies, man, if it means that they're loyal subscribers on YouTube. Let's help build this brand, this Ramblin' Raiders brand, as we continue to utilize this visual content and enhance what we're doing as far as the content we're putting out for basketball season. There's a lot more in the works, a lot of things coming down the pipeline, so be ready. Help us grow by clicking on that
bell. And tune in to The Rip on Wednesday.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tune in to The Rip on Wednesday because
we're going to be breaking down Iowa State and Texas Tech. It's going to be awesome.
We'll be breaking down the game, drinking a few beers, having a good time with it. So, yeah, guys, hit that like button if you're, you know, if you are enjoying the content and the audio is good and everything's, you know, the visuals are fine besides having to look at me and Lane's mugs for 45 minutes. What else? That's it, man. That's all the plugs I got for y'all. So for everyone who goes back and watches this later, who's probably on the road sitting in traffic right now, leaving their day job. Last but not least, Lane, with two games left, and this is just a quick hitter, two games left in the season coming up against Iowa State, who is the second, ranked number nine, the ninth ranked team in the Big 12, second worst team right in front of West Virginia, and then Oklahoma, who I believe is right in front of Iowa State.
And just lost to West Virginia.
Yeah, so like the bottom feeders, technically, of a very deep and, you know, good conference this year. I saw a tweet from Raider Ty, or I think it was Raider Ty, today saying there is still a scenario where every Big 12 team can make the playoffs.
No.
I mean, the
the playoffs.
I mean, maybe in March Madness can make a bowl game.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So it's a deep conference, but Tech's schedule favors them down the stretch. We're playing two of the teams that aren't as good this year. Would not making a bowl game in year one of the McGuire tenure be a disappointment to you? No, think about it.
Well, you know, I'm just ready to go away. But I don't think it would be a disappointment. I think it would just be, you know, like
I'm angry.
It would be an under. No, I'm just kidding. I think this is a team that can make a bowl game. So in that sense, it's a little disappointing. But he is a first year head coach, and I know he needs time to build. But
no, I mean, we're pissed.
I mean, we're not pissed, but it's a little disappointing that we have the talent to make a bowl.
Yeah,
we should make a bowl. But he is first year head coach, so we understand that struggle. What does the chat think?
What do we say?
Feel free to get in on an answer here.
Is speculatory a word?
The direction I thought you were going was you were going to ask, are we going to win out? And I was damn well ready to tell the fans, yes, we are ready to win out.
Speculatory, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is a word adapted for viewing. Okay, so speculatory, man. This is our speculatory.
So Renee thinks absolutely it's a disappointment. He inherited a bowl team.
Okay.
I answered it like a typical politician where I said like both sides.
I'm gonna go with Renee on this one. Let me start it by saying this. I don't think it's necessarily, I'm not saying this is like a huge indictment on Joey McGuire. So after Matt Wells' first year, and we didn't really air this out on the podcast because we try to keep the faith. We try to keep everybody
political.
But I'll never forget, Nick Thompson came to my house in Austin, and we watched, I think it was the K-State, one of those last games that we had, and we went 4-8 his first year. And I remember sitting, like, talking to Nick, saying, like, I have no hope, dude, for
Matt. Yeah, Reynolds. No, it was. It was a clear,
it was like hopeless. Like, I was sitting there going,
this guy sucks.
I think this was a bad hire. I want to try to see all the positives that I can. He seems like a decent dude, but I don't know if it's going to happen on the recruiting trail or if he's going to be able to figure it out next season. But something's not clicking here. And I was kind of in a bottomless pit of despair, like thinking, like, are we ever going to be better than this? It's 4-8, the ceiling with Wells. I remember I did not feel good about the trajectory of our program. That is, if we end this season 5-7, I do not feel that way about McGuire. Like, yes, has the energy dropped a little bit towards the end of the year? Certainly, but McGuire is still has these guys playing at a high level. We've been extremely competitive. We beat some teams this year that we probably shouldn't have in UT. People are going to hate for me to say that, but like, I mean, UT's pretty
at home. We're just tough at home.
Yeah, UT's pretty solid. I mean, we're probably better than them, especially with Morton. I'll say that with Morton or Shuck playing, I think we're just as good, if not better, than UT. But that, I mean, UT's got a shot at finishing, you know, 7-5 up there. Kansas is a good team we just beat.
U of Renee's H, right. Hell. It's a tough non-con. We played two ranked teams.
U of H, I mean, we had to get a 4th-and-20 to come back and beat them. So McGuire has brought just kind of a different energy to this program. Our alumni are fired up. The money's coming in for new upgrades to our facilities. NIL looks good. And he's recruiting at a high clip. There seems to be faith and belief.
More momentum.
Yeah, more momentum. Faith and belief in where this program can go. So this isn't necessarily, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's a vote of no confidence in McGuire, because I think that DeRuiter has really helped our defense. This is the most consistent our defense has been in a really long time. Our offense has looked really good in spurts under Kittley. I think Kittley's still adjusting and learning some things as well, but he's a young guy. That's going to happen. He's going to continue to develop. Overall, the momentum is moving in the right direction. I do not feel like I did after Wells. But I'm with Renee on this. Thank you for redirecting me. This was, I mean, look at Kingsbury, who inherited his best talent recruiting class from Tommy Tuberville. He had an 8-5 year in his first season, and then kind of, you know, he floundered out. Not kind of, he did. He floundered out after that. McGuire has inherited a bowl. This is a bowl team. If last year was a bowl
team.
That
is funny, because Renee said, quote unquote, the exact same. Absolutely, he inherited a bowl team.
Yes, Renee's absolutely right. He inherited a bowl team. Kingsbury was able to do it with a bowl team. I mean, you could argue Wells got kind of screwed in year one because Kingsbury didn't leave that many. He didn't leave a lot in the cupboard for him. So will I be disappointed, and will I consider this a disappointing season? Yes, on that level. Like, this is a – if you make a bowl game with last year's roster, there's no reason you can't make a bowl game with this year's roster, especially when you look at who you're playing down the stretch. I mean, these are two
winnable games.
You're going to be more than likely favored against OU at home, and you're only a 3-point dog against Iowa State. Like, you put yourself in a position
and I like to make that. A bowl game. I like that spread for Texas Tech. We're going to get more into this on the rip on Wednesday, but I like the matchup against Iowa State. I do. I know it's on the road, which is going to make it extremely tough. But, you know, they're not a great offensive team. I think our defense can really go in there and shut them down completely.
Agreed.
So I think if our offense can get rolling a little bit, I think we can win that game.
Yeah, yeah. And remember to tune into the rip, because we're going to talk about that there. Where's our here we go, the song and dance. Yep, I'm on. I'm connected. So, anyways, with all that to be said, I'm with you, Renee, on that one. I have faith in the trajectory of this program. I believe in Coach McGuire and what he's building at Texas Tech. I don't think it's too reactionary or inflammatory or hyperbolic, whatever you want to deem it as, to say if we don't make a bowl game, it's a disappointing season. Yeah. And again, McGuire and the rest of the team
would tell you the exact same thing.
And so why do we even ask the question? Because that's what we do on the Ramblin' Raiders podcast. We want to make ask questions that have no concrete answer. It's all in the eye of the beholder, in the listener's, whatever the listener believes in views, man. The eye of the beholder. I'm trying to think what else. The the brain of the listener, man, and the perception of the listener. So and of the viewer. So
the mind of the beholder.
The mind of the beholder. So you guys just do with that as you will. You know, we encourage everybody to fan as you want to fan, okay, to a degree. But with that being said, we're gonna close it out. You know, we're always gonna ask you guys questions with no real answer. It's just completely...
No, there is an answer. It's our answer.
Completely subjective.
Our answer is the answer.
But Lane's right. It's subjective for you. But if you don't agree with us, you're just wrong. So, like, we'll leave that out there. That's pretty much how I operate on our Ramblin' Nerds Twitter, too. Like, if you disagree with what we're saying, like, you're wrong. So, just know that. All that to be said, thank y'all. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. And let's have a good week. Get ready for the rip. Also, if you haven't seen our Ryan Mainville episode that we put out with our basketball preview, check that out. Great intel, great stats there. I have another guest coming on the pod to talk up the Maui Invitational and Texas Tech's path to winning. Probably, I'm going to assume, our first ever Maui Invitational. It's a loaded field, but stay tuned for that. We have a special guest coming on to talk up the Maui. With that, Lane, any departing words, man? How do we do? Under 51, it's not bad.
To win the Maui, you got to win the first game. That's going to be a tough one for the Red Raiders.
Hey, guess what time it is, guys? It's Christmas time, according to YouTube.
You know, we had that whole discussion on when to put up Christmas decorations on the last rip, and Caroline, I came home to, like, our entire apartment already decorated.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say Caroline said, like, never. She just doesn't believe in Christmas. All right, guys, have a great week. Hope you enjoyed that recap. Be ready for the rip on Wednesday. Keep your guns up high and have a great week, baby. We out. You can't tell me this is a high-quality production podcast right here. Look at this. It's authentic. That's just being a journeyman, a jack-of-all-trades. Alright, we'll see you guys next time. Don't forget to subscribe, baby.